Well, happy Resurrection Sunday to you. Good to be with you this morning. Glad that you're here. It's been good to be together in the early hour and then again in this hour just to sing praise to the Lord and truth to one another and to read from the Scripture and be encouraged by its truth and just a delight. I want to have you turn in your Bibles, actually, for just a moment. We're going to read the resurrection account. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to John chapter 20. We've been making our way through this gospel in the weeks preceding this. And we find ourselves in John chapter 20, John's record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to take just a few moments to read the chapter with you and then look to the Lord in prayer. But John 20, verse 1, the chapter begins like this. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, the author of this book, John himself, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand from the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the foot. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." I wonder if she has any idea what she's going to do with the dead body of Jesus. She's still not believing the resurrection happened. She's thinking someone has moved the body of Jesus to another tomb. Now, the strange thing with that is if you were to move the body to another tomb, you wouldn't have unwrapped him. The clothes are there. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, overjoyed. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." You understand as you read forward, the disciples understood that to go out and proclaim forgiveness in Jesus' name. And those who believed in Jesus were forgiven of their sin and became a part of the community of the forgiven. Verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "I doubt it. I don't believe it. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never, no, never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God bless the reading of his word this morning. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue in song today. Heavenly Father, it is our delight, it is our joy to gather this morning and to remember Jesus Christ, that he came, that he was crucified, that he rose again. To remember that, but to proclaim Christ is risen and Christ is coming again. Our hope, our joy, our glory, our crown, Christ is coming again. We rejoice in that truth this morning. We thank you that we have a risen, living, returning Savior. We long for his coming, and so we pray, come quickly, come now. Father, we pray that as we worship you this morning in song and in prayer and the reading of the Scripture, we pray that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified, that we as your people would be built up in our faith and encouraged, that you would save the lost, that you would encourage and build up those who are trusting. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. Well, good morning once again. Good to be with you this morning. As of yesterday, I wasn't sure if I was going to be with you. My wife and I have this cold thing we keep passing back and forth, and so some of you may recognize that in my voice this morning, but yesterday I nearly stressed out some of the associates. I said, I'm not going to be there Resurrection Sunday. You're going to have to preach tomorrow. But anyways, we're here and glad to be with you this morning, glad to celebrate the resurrection with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn back to John chapter 20. We've already read it, and we'll look at the final few verses in just a little bit. But having a cold, being sick, it's all just part of the fall, right? I've been living the latter part of the week on cough drops. I'm just looking forward to tasting food again. Anyways, well, you find your place there in the Bible. Let me have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll consider our message this morning. Heavenly Father, it's been good to gather again this morning and to sing truth concerning yourself to you as an act of worship, and truth concerning yourself to one another as both worship and edification and instruction. And it's been good to hear the choir sing and good to hear others sing around us and to read the Scripture and to be reminded of all that Christ has done for us and to proclaim what he's yet to do. Father, I pray that as we spend a little time this morning now thinking on these things, that you would lift our thoughts to yourself and to your Son and to the glory that you have prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. I pray that we would understand the inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven and begin to press into that some in our thoughts this morning. Father, I pray that you would give us an ability to reserve and conserve our conversation and our thoughts on you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning our message obviously is around the resurrection theme, and I have just three simple questions that we're going to interact with this morning for our time together. And the first question, quite simply, is, do you believe in the resurrection? I'm not asking if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll get there in a moment. But I'm asking if you believe in the resurrection. The resurrection that will come at the culmination and consummation of all of history at the end of the age. A future resurrection of all humanity from all ages who will stand before God in their bodies fully alive. As in you personally. Long after you've been buried, will your body be called up from the grave and resurrected and made everlasting? In other words, a million years from now, are you going to be breathing? A million years from now, will you be breathing? Will you have a pulse rate? Will you be eating and playing and enjoying the company of friends, loving life, and enjoying endless experiences of goodness and grace and glory in a world that is physical and real and eternal? Do you believe in the resurrection? Or are you done when this life is done? Is this all there is? A short time before Jesus was crucified, Jesus was having a conversation with Martha. Martha was the sister of Lazarus, the Lazarus whom the gospel accounts tell us Jesus raised from the dead. And in that encounter and in that conversation, Martha says to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." She has witnessed Jesus healing the sick before, and in her case, Jesus had arrived too late and her brother had died, and she's grieving the fact that Jesus had come late, and she's grieving the fact that her brother had died, and so she says to Jesus, "If you had just been here, my brother would not have died." To which Jesus replies, and he says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again." To which Martha replies, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." So Martha believed in a future resurrection. And she believed her brother would be present in that future resurrection. And quite frankly, she's standing in a long historical line of people who believed in a future resurrection at the end of the age on the last day. And she believed in the resurrection, that future resurrection, before Jesus rose from the dead, and even before her brother rose from the dead. She knew that Lazarus would be present on that last day in that future resurrection. Now, I can take you back into history, and we can go back to a document that was written, a historic document that predates the writing of Genesis, where a man named Job lived, and Job says, "Long after my body has been decayed, I mean, I'm going to die and you're going to lay me in the grave and my body is going to decay, but I know that in that last day, in my flesh, I will stand upon the earth and with my own eyes, I will see God." He believed in a future resurrection. He believed there was a day coming when he would stand upon the earth in his body and he would see God. Why did he believe that? Because he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end, my Redeemer will stand upon the earth. And I will be resurrected. And in my flesh, I will see my Redeemer," that Redeemer being God himself. Job believed in a future resurrection because Job was trusting in promises that God had made, that God himself had made concerning the future and concerning his future. At the beginning of the human history and right after the fall of humanity into sin, into death, God promised a Redeemer, one who would come and be a sin crusher and a death defeater and a life giver. Humanity's sin way back at the beginning was against God and it brought death upon the human race. God stepped in at that point and he promised one who would come and redeem and restore and bring life. And those who believed God were looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise. And Job was one of those guys. And we can go through history and we can look at Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and David and Esther and countless other people. All the way from the beginning, all the way to Martha and to today, countless people who believed in a future resurrection made possible by God, the Redeemer. And so I ask you this morning, are you one of those? Are you one of those people? Do you believe in the resurrection, a conscious, physical, eternal existence after a definite future resurrection? Well, if you believe that, the implications are huge. The implications of that are huge. Your belief or your unbelief will impact your perceptions and your interpretations of history, of today, of the future, and it'll impact the way you live your life. It's kind of funny to talk about a bucket list. You know what a bucket list is, right? A bucket list is that thing that you create, experiences that you hope to have before you kick the bucket. We all have this bucket list. It's kind of funny to talk about a bucket list if you believe in the resurrection. When you have infinite time in a real body in a physical world that'll never cease. If you believe in the resurrection, then you believe in a never-ending future that awaits you, a real you, a future that is filled with experiences beyond present imagination and explanation. You know, I suppose I have a bucket list. I suppose maybe we all have a bucket list, experiences that we hope to have. You know, I'd love to bike across the country. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Oh, one joins me in that. I'd love to kayak down the Mississippi. You know, start in the headwaters in up in Minnesota and kayak all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. I'd love to backpack the Appalachian Mountains. Some of my bucket list isn't going to come true, and some of you are recognizing that already. Like, Pastor Mark, you're way too old for some of those things. But the New Testament authors who believed in the resurrection, that future grand and glorious resurrection, they spoke of the future going from glory to glory and from awe to awe as we experience the immeasurable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness toward us. That's rather staggering. My bucket list, however great it might be, does not compare with experiencing the immeasurable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to us for all eternity, where God is going to awe me with himself forever. In a renewed world. A renewed world. So do you believe in the future resurrection? Yourself. A million years from now, you'll be breathing and living and playing and enjoying the company of friends. Thriving, flourishing in a new heaven and a new earth. If you believe that, you'll live differently from those who believe that this life is all there is. You'll live free. The second question I have for you this morning is, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? It's possible for some to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'll rise from the dead. Jesus being a unique historic figure, and that's a unique historic event with limited application, Jesus rose from the dead, but that doesn't mean I will rise from the dead. So the question I followed up with is, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead, and does that have any difference on your life? Does it make any difference to you? Does it matter to you? Does it have any bearing on you? Or is it simply Jesus rose from the dead, that's it? This morning I had you read, or we read together, John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, I won't reread it this morning, but in John chapter 20, we read that John believed Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't understand it all. He hadn't had it all figured out. Matter of fact, he admits that. We didn't understand from all the scripture why Christ had to come and die and rise again, but I believe he rose from the dead. John believed Jesus rose from the dead. You go forward, and Mary believed that Jesus rose from the dead. You go a little further, and the disciples believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And you get to the end of the chapter, and finally Thomas, with a little more evidence, he also believes that Jesus rose from the dead. And you read on in your Bible, and you discover that individuals who believe that Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't believe he just rose from the dead. They believed that his death and resurrection had cosmic significance. Significance for every person. For them, Jesus' resurrection wasn't an isolated historic incident. It was planned from before the foundation of the world, and it had implications for all of history and for every person. They believed Jesus rose from the dead. They believed Jesus was God and was sent by God and was that promised sin crusher, death defeater, and life giver. They believed that Jesus was God and was sent by God. They believed that Jesus was God and was a gift from God. And they believed that Jesus' death was for our sin. It was intentional. It was purposeful. Jesus himself became sin for us on the cross. And the punishment that we deserve, God poured out on him. Jesus' death was for our sin, and his resurrection was for our salvation. Forgiveness was now granted because sin had been paid for, and new life was offered because Jesus lives forever. Jesus' death was for our sin, his resurrection was for our salvation, and through trusting in Jesus, God joins you to Jesus, and we're now reconciled and restored to God. A relationship that was broken in the fall has now been positively rectified, and today we await the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that will be ours when he comes. See, they believe Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus' rising from the dead was a kind of first fruits of all who would rise from the dead. That's kind of like at the end of summer or the beginning of fall when you run out into your garden and you pick off a couple ears of corn because they're ripe and they're ready, and you bring them in the house and you're like, hey, we got our first fresh ears of corn. There's more harvest coming. They understood Jesus' resurrection that way. Jesus is the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection guarantees and secures our resurrection. Awesome. The disciples believed Jesus rose from the dead. And they linked that resurrection with their own resurrection. Jesus' resurrection not only provided assurance of their salvation, but it was a foundation for their faith in him. You see, they thought if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they had no hope. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they had no foundation for trusting in him. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there was no salvation for themselves or for others. The resurrection that is in the future was connected to Jesus' resurrection in history. After all, as we've made our way through this, and if I were to take you back into that conversation Jesus was having with Martha, Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus is the resurrection. The disciples believed in the resurrection, they believed in Jesus' resurrection, and they became witnesses of the resurrection. That was their message. Christ has come. Christ is crucified. Christ is risen again. Christ is coming again. He is the risen, living, eternal King. Trust in him and live. That was their message. So I circle back. I've got one more question. First question is, do you believe in the resurrection? Second question, do you believe in the historic resurrection of Jesus Christ? And then the final question is, what difference does that make for you and me today? To get real practical, you're sitting in rows. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you believe in your resurrection based on his resurrection, if you believe in the resurrection and the person sitting next to you doesn't believe in the resurrection, or vice versa, you don't believe and they do, what difference does it make for you? What difference does it make for them? We could probably think through countless implications, but let me just cut to the chase. If you believe in the resurrection and in Jesus' resurrection, which secures your resurrection, then that means you've taken God at his word. And you've believed Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, and said he is the resurrection and the life. And to take God at his word and to believe in Jesus Christ is to be joined to God. And being joined to God changes everything. Changes everything. When the Bible speaks of those who take God at his word and believe him and join them to themselves to Jesus, it uses terms like adoption, reconciliation, being transferred from one kingdom to another, a new birth, new creation, new life. If we were to just take that one word and say adopted, for those who take God at his word and believe in Jesus Christ, they are adopted by God into God's family. Being adopted by God, that won't leave you unaffected. That changes everything. On the other hand, to not believe in the resurrection, to say there is no future resurrection, whether Jesus died and rose again, doesn't really matter. To deny the resurrection is to deny God and what he's said and what he's promised and what he's provided. So to deny the resurrection is to deny God, and to deny God puts you in the place of God. And that leaves you detached, separated, autonomous, and on your own. That means your future is only as majestic as you are. If you control time and eternity, if you control life and death, if you control heaven and earth, then you've got it made. But if you don't, you're in a heap of trouble. For you have a future without God that awaits you, per your own desire. The truth is, as we've sung this morning, and as we've heard from the scripture this morning, The truth is, God has been immeasurably kind to you and me. At the very beginning, he promised a resurrection unto eternal life. And he promised one who would come and provide it. And that one has come and provided it, and that one is his son, Jesus Christ. So God has promised us a resurrection, God has provided us a resurrection, and through trusting in Jesus Christ and receiving him as our God-provided Savior, God joins us to himself. The resurrection in history, Jesus' resurrection, is the basis for our foundation in God's promises. It is the basis for our faith in Jesus Christ himself. And the resurrection in history, Jesus' resurrection, again, it's the first fruits of a final resurrection, a future resurrection, where all of God's people will stand before him and be awed by his glory and grace for all eternity. How remarkable. You know, when I was just a boy, just a young elementary age kid, I was the youngest of five children, and my family went to a church service on a weeknight. As a little boy, I suppose I wasn't all that excited about going to church on Sunday, let alone a special one on a weeknight. It probably cut into some television show. But I remember going to that church service with my family, and I wasn't much paying attention to the message. Sitting there in the row. But somewhere in the middle of that message, it hit me. Somewhere in the middle of that message, I became convicted of the fact that I was a sinner. And my sin was against God, and God loved me, and he'd given Jesus to save me. Christ died for sin and rose again for my salvation. Like John in the text, I didn't understand it all. I didn't have it all figured out. I didn't know all the reasons why Jesus came, why he died, why he rose from the dead, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew my sin was against God. I knew God loved me, and Jesus was my Savior. My knowledge is very limited, very basic. But that night I called upon God, placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and on that night my life began. My life began. I was brought into life, and I was brought into eternal life. Fear of death is gone. I have a new life to live. I have an eternal life before me. And it's only getting better. Oh, my body's wasting away. I get that. But inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. And even for me to die is not to be separated from God. And I'll go to be with him, and there will be a resurrection. My body he'll call from the grave. And a million years from now, I'm going to be breathing and living and loving and enjoying life, flourishing for all eternity. On that night, as a little kid, my life began. Has your life begun? I'm glad the Bible calls us little children and uses the metaphor of calling us sheep. For along my journey, there have been many falls and numerous wanderings. But God keeps his own, because God keeps his promises. I have no other explanation for why God has been so good to me other than grace. It's just grace, kindness to me. Jesus Christ himself is the greatest gift at the greatest cost for the least deserving. Remarkable. It's grace to me. Grace to you. I had you turn to John 20. We haven't even looked at it. I'll read the last two verses. John finishes this chapter. In verse 30 and 31, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So we've been reading the Gospel of John. We've been making our way through the Gospel of John. There are many signs that Jesus did, the greatest one being his own resurrection from the dead. But there are signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book. But these are written for a purpose. These ones are written, why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him, life in his name. You have life? Have you been brought into life? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Received Him as God's provision for your salvation? Receive Christ, experience sins forgiven, restored to God, reconciled? If not, today could be your day. If today is your day for calling on the Lord and placing your faith in Jesus Christ, then let me encourage you to do that. Go to God in prayer. Call on His name. He will not turn you away. How remarkable is that? God will have you as His very own. God will have you. Your father or mother might forsake you, but God won't. God will have you. So if today is your day, call on the name of the Lord, trust in Him, and then tell someone. Tell the person you came with, today was my day. I trusted in Jesus today. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Good news. Call upon God. Trust in Him. Place your faith and confidence in His provision in His Son, Jesus Christ, and then tell someone today. Today was the day of your salvation. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have considered and been reminded of grand and glorious truths. A resurrection You've promised and a resurrection You've provided. Promised in the beginning and provided in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and a resurrection that will be ours when Jesus returns. You've given us everything we need in Jesus Christ. Salvation, forgiveness, life, and eternal life. No wonder we boast in the cross. And glory in Him. Father, we thank You for Jesus. Father, I pray for those today who have never called on You, that today would be the day of their salvation. They'd know what it is to call upon You and be received by You and to be brought into life. For those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that we'd leave greatly encouraged, reminded of glorious and grand truths that You've given to us in Your Word. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your faithfulness to yourself and to your own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's been good to be together. Trust that you've been encouraged, blessed. God bless you. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Bless and encourage one another before you go. God bless you.